Well, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, would you feed us, feed our soul, God? You are our heart's deepest longing. God, your words, God, they're soul food for us. And so encourage us, Lord. Lift us up, God, and help us. And I pray, God, that your glory would shine through your words. God, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of, we're going to continue in our sermon series on wisdom. And I think, you know, we talked about wisdom. I think the scripture says it begins with the fear of the Lord. Okay? And so it begins. Wisdom is being enamored with the bigness of God. If you want to think about it like that. So even Jesus, when Jesus says, teach us how to pray, we hallow his name. And his name is love. His name is mercy. His name is grace. And so we need God to be big. Because every day, we're so consumed by the bigness of our problems, aren't we? Don't we every day, when we get up, before we go to sleep, do we count our blessings or do we count our burdens? What do you think? I know I do. I count my burdens a lot, right? And it's so shocking that in life that we have to be so intentional about counting our blessings, don't we? We have to ask God to be so big that he's bigger than our problems. And more than that, we want to be enamored. What I mean by that, we just want to be just enthralled in awe of the beauty of God, don't we? Because there's so many shiny things in this world. You know, isn't that what social media does? The vacations really look better than they really are, you know? The houses and the cars and everything. It was just so, and God just wants us to be so enamored with him. It's not that God can't or will not give us those things. It's just that God doesn't spoil us, doesn't it? Isn't that what really spoiling your children is about? Giving them something before they're ready to get it. And we think we're so ready to receive, you know, things. But so what wisdom is just this recognition. It's this journey. As we make life choices, we need wisdom. Because we're going to always go towards the shiny things of this world. We are. We're always going to, before we even ask, does it pay more? You know, does it this and does it that, you know, and decisions for our children and everything. Because we're wired in our flesh for shiny things that glazes our eyes, don't we? And so God just wants us, but our souls, if you're a Christian, you know, there's this part when the presence of God comes. And just that moment when you're worshiping, you know, that moment, you know, you might even be at a funeral, you know? And that touch just reminds you, doesn't it? Oh, this is what I'm made for. I want that, you know? And wisdom is making decisions to continue to be enraptured, enthralled, and be in the awe of God. And stay in love with God. We're so surprised that we have to work on this relationship. You know, our relationship with God is a relationship, right? And it's just like any relationship, you know. That's why Jesus knocks. He doesn't bang, right? But he wants it more than anybody to be close, but that he cannot want it for us. But boy, is it like the best. Now I say today we're going to talk about the grace of wisdom given through humility. And I want you to know, I hope this is good news. It's good news. Sometimes good news is like, oh, that's so good. I wish I'd never heard it. You ever That's kind of like wisdom, isn't it? And that's kind of like humility. I would say this, even in my, you know, growing age, humility is extremely painful. Extremely painful. As I pray for it and pray for it, sometimes I cry praying for it. Because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. You know, it's just like you're laying your ego on the altar. You know that that's the solution to everything. It's just hard, isn't it? And it's just so necessary. And I want us to kind of just rethink. Wow, I'm just facing a lot of problems. You know, because every day, you know, it's just like, oh man, I don't know what it is. It's like, I'm just like in a rut and I'm stuck and I can't shake it. Ever feel like that? You know, you wake up, I do want to pray. I do want to, you know, even read the Bible. I don't want to fight all the time. I just, you know, it's like, and we just think, don't know. It's like, and we, like the honking answer in life, it's like the 800-pound elephant. And in wanting the glory and the presence and this relationship all hinge on humility. I know. We think it just is, every day is like this trial and testing and temptation and the path towards victory. This resurrection life is humility. Now, what is humble about religion is that it is given. And I tell you, I sometimes, that's just often, forget. So we just think sometimes, like, I used to be on this, like, and I took the church through it too. You know, this journey of insight. You're just almost like the next insight, some biblical insight away from drastic change. It's almost self-obtained. You almost feel good about it because you get it. You know what I mean? You get it. Like, you don't think other people get it, but you get it. You feel good about yourself. You think that's the answer, right? Until it isn't. Until it isn't. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. It's God who gives it. Wisdom is a revelation. It's God's both knowledge and strength through the Spirit. But he gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Now, think about the very essence of being enthralled and being all with God. The humblest man on earth, at least at the time, you know who it was in the Old Testament? It was Moses. And you can see his whole journey from the beginning, it was just this path of humility. And he ends with the most humiliating act, being left behind while everybody goes into the promised land. And we talked about this morning about transfiguration. The humblest man on earth who was humbled to the very end was next to Christ. He did touch down in the promised land, but in the timing of God. But he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. You ever have, like study math? I don't know. I had this epiphany once, right? You study math, you did algebra. You know, you did good at it, you know? And then, like, not that long ago, you had this epiphany. Oh, wow. Like, that's why. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you ever do that. Like, you understand it like much later, right? Like, it comes into your heart like that. Wisdom is kind of like that. It's like, yeah, I mean, I know it. Oh man, I know it. I know it. Like, it's just something completely different. Knowing things is a very unhelpful, right? Because every day you're like trying to shake off all your problems and worries, and it's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, something comes into your heart and you're like, wow, that's just so helpful. It's like, you know, sometimes we call that the closest word, you know, it's like epiphany. It's like this light bulb that goes off. But it's more than that. Now I want to talk about something, all right, which is, it's just, the Bible says it in this way, and I was just really struggling with it. I was like, what? You know, I wasn't understanding it. But let me read it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. James chapter 3, verse 14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy, right? In this context, it's really more about envy, actually. And in the age of social media, this is really, really difficult. But it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, it's this desire to be exalted, desire to be better, desire to be more self-worth, just this desire, not just for us, for our children, just like this desire. And one of the biggest traps, to be honest, is ministry, actually, right? And there is an ambition for exaltation. And your hands are gripped tight more than you realize. But there's an elevation that comes without the accompanying humility. Be careful, you know? Like, if we want, like, to be more, and you haven't been taught to be less. So that's kind of the background for what James is saying. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the one. The wisdom. The wisdom. Because why? Wisdom requires humility. Requires that you've been prepped for the exaltation. When you have envy flooding into your heart, gotta be careful. That's like, those are warning signs. There is selfish ambition, unwarranted, unsanctioned desire. Because it is God who will give the desires of our hearts. He knows best. He says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder. There will be disunity. And every vile practice. These are harsh language. But the wisdom. Notice, wisdom is the solution to this. Wisdom is what we need in the face of disorder, disunity, selfish ambition, envy. So this is when you say, God, can you give me wisdom? But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. You ever feel like, oh, like, it's just like the bitterness, you just can't shake it off. Wisdom. It's unwise to carry bitterness day after day. Unwise. What we need is wisdom. And good fruits, impartial and sincere. And then in James 4 it says, the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. I love that. See, humility, right, is and always will be an investment. Jesus humbled himself, but it was an investment. It feels like humility feels like you're losing out. When you apologize after a fight, you might be 5% in the wrong. They might be 95%, maybe even 99% in the wrong. And but humility says, oh, I want to invest in that. Humility is a get to, not a got to. That's why God says, humble yourself. Now, it is absolutely transformative. When you move towards somebody, okay, that doesn't even want you to be moved towards, it's humility. This is the path of grace. Notice some things are just conditional. If you want more wisdom, if you want more grace in your life, it comes necessarily through humility. It's this feeling when Paul talks about when he's weak, then I am strong. That's humility. He makes what? Foolish the wise? That's humility. It's this upside down kingdom mentality that, you know, at some point, you know, in all of scripture, it's like, that's humility. And at the end of it is this sense, I'm losing out here. I'm being disadvantaged, only to be really advantaged in the kingdom. It's an investment, and it has to do with trust. It has to do with submission, but realizing, oh, when people transform from one degree of glory to, like, you know what I'm saying, to another, that's humility. Making good decisions about these obstacles, whether there's conflict, where there's money involved, where there's, if it's ministry, work, school, all of it, wisdom can only come through humility. And it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In Proverbs 11:2, here's the link. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Don't you love that? Don't you love it when scripture is very explicit to say, yes, with the humble? I will say this to you. There's no such thing as a wise person who've not had the test successfully, okay? Through trial and tribulation, who has not had to come and face and become humbled. There is no wisdom without humility. Now, how does humility come about? Well, it comes about two ways. One, humility comes through testing and temptation. That's why we have growth group, because we're facing a lot of trials and tribulation, don't we? Now, in scripture, testing and temptation, it's really the same word. And how do I overcome this unovercomable sin? Humility. Humility. It's like confession. Oh, humility. When do I stop confessing? Because I don't know. I think I shared with many of you when I was addicted to cigarettes every day for I don't know how long. It was well over a year. I bought a pack every day only to throw it away. I don't know how long it takes, you know? It's like I'm so tired of confessing, always being defeated. More humility. I know. It's so hard. Confession, right? Reconciliation. It's just like, I'm just so sick of it. And I'm saying is, don't be discouraged. Trials and tribulations are opportunities for humility. And so, now, I pray for humility. I pray for utter humility. Now, I trust, because God loves me, that He would only give me what I can take. And sometimes I feel like, God, this is something I can't take. And it is probably one of the most painful things. You know why? Because there's shame involved. There's sense of loss. Just a lot of just unpleasant emotions. But here's a promise. Right? For those who engage in this journey. Oh, there's joy. There's joy that is reserved for the humble. There's a peace and a freedom that comes because that's when grace comes. And when you get a taste of the grace that comes through humility, you'll want more of it. But here's the epiphany. In every trial and tribulation, you ask yourself, How can I humble myself? Oh, yes. How can I humble myself? If the answer, if you're asking that question, you're on that right path. How can I humble myself in this just horrible situation? And if the answer, I'm just going to die if I do that then. It's okay to die. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. We're already dead. We're already dead. We're already in Christ. And sometimes that's good enough. Because His grace is sufficient for us. I'm going to read Philippians 2. And it's just the way Christ, right? The way He thinks about love, what is the most meaningful? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say was the greatest love? Right? He says, no greater love than this, the one who would lay down his life for a friend. A friend. Right? And you know what that is? That sense of sacrifice, that sense of otherness, not selfness. That sense, it's called humility. Love requires humility. Isn't that amazing? Love requires that we humble ourselves and eat humble pie. And I want us to go, you know, that's not a bad thing. Because you know why? Because when you, we're so shocked when we get married, aren't we? Let's just all admit, we're so surprised that we have to humble ourselves for the other person. Apologize. Because when they're more, I mean, yelled, I mean, this is like the way my justification, of course I got a little like out of hand, right? With my words and, you know, I would throw things sometimes and it was just horrible. But my mind, like, if I thought that I was like less in the wrong, I just justified. Isn't that crazy? The way we don't have to humble ourselves. But when you're ambitious for grace, oh, humility is an option then. There's nothing like, you know, that sense of the grace of God that comes from humbling yourself. And I just want to say, you know, I was like, man, I want more of that. Like, it's just this taste for grace. Here's a verse talking about, you know, Jesus who knew of such things, who set before Him this idea of humility. Let's read. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Here we go, right? Like humility, right? Selfish ambition. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. It's okay, okay? Even if you're 99% in the right, it's okay to humble yourself. Just count others more significant. Jesus was like 100% in the right, but He considered, right? Being in the form of God, nothing. Let's read. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was ambitious to be humble. He was ambitious to be sacrificially humble. He was ambitious to empty Himself for another. We're here because Jesus humbled Himself. And Jesus promises that if we humble ourselves, it is the path of grace. And that's what wisdom is deciding, do I want this path of grace or do I want this other path It might be a religious path. You might feel good about yourself. But, oh, the joys. The joy of just letting go. Because you know why? The only goal we have is just Jesus himself. It's not anything else. Psalm 25:9. Just close with this. It says, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. Isn't that what wisdom is? Wisdom are choices that lead down a certain path. And the end of that path is Jesus himself. And it's the way of humility. And I just hope, and our prayer right now is that whatever situation you find yourself, ask this question, how can I humble myself? Whenever you get in a fight with your spouse, ask yourself, how can I humble myself? Even with your children, you know, like you just yelled in a way that you shouldn't. I mean, it's like, what should you do? Humble yourself. Is there anything where humility is not the answer? Well, in the most important things, it is absolutely the answer. And if you choose the way of humility, you will choose to be wise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, wisdom is given by you. And we now pray, oh God, oh give us humility. Give us utter humility. We ask with boldness because you and you alone, God, know us, what we can handle. God, you know that you promise you'll never give us any testing that we cannot handle. So God, we just pray. We invite you to make us wise. But help us, God. Give us strength. God, just inflame this desire for more grace, more and more grace. All the joy, God, set before us in the path of humility. Help us, God, to choose you always. In Jesus' name, amen.